of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments for me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. This marks the last sermon in this series. Yes, you may applaud if you would like. No, it's been really, really interesting. And, you know, good full crowd this morning in the first service. It really has been an interesting series. As we've learned from the Lord just what he wants from us as a church. We've learned that he doesn't want compromise. He doesn't want us to look like everybody else. He doesn't want us to look like the world around us. He wants us to have a passion for him. He wants us to love each other with a genuine love. A love that's real and a love that's agape love that comes from God. That's what God wants from us. And we've learned that. Now, the church at Laodicea is probably the one that is most well-known. It's the one that most people think about whenever they think about the letters in Revelation. They say, oh yeah, that's the one where God says that he's going to spew us out of his mouth. The word for spew really is vomit. So that's not a word we use very often, right? Unless you're feeling a little sick. Some of you have been sick these last couple of weeks, and But God wants us to have a passion for him. I think really that's kind of the conclusion that we come to when we come to the end of these seven churches, that there's a passion that God wants us to have for him, a real, genuine love that's real from deep within, and a passion for his church. I don't know if you've ever seen these guys before, and I don't know if you can read the words, but I'm going to read the words to you. These two monkeys are talking to each other, and the first one says, you should get as excited about church as you do a football game. The other monkey says, well, I did that once, but they asked me to leave. And he said, really? Why? The other one said, well, after the sermon, I dumped a Gatorade bucket on the preacher. So that's probably a good reason to leave. But you see, I used to hear that when I was a kid all the time. I used to hear, you know, we really want to have a passion to go to church. We get all excited when we go to a football game. Why can't we get that excited when we go to church? You know, it would be different if we, you know, jumped up. I think, you know, we're looking into possibly having shirts made for the church. You should get one of those. Maybe we should wear those with your name in the back like you do as a, you know, when you go to a football game, right? How many have shirts when they go to a football game, Steeler shirts, that you wear on the Sundays of, yeah. Who do you got, Connie? Who's on the back of your shirt?
I don't even
want to
say it's so old.
Yeah. No, do. Is it that old? I have Heath Miller, which I loved Heath Miller. I don't know why he left. My world ended. Who else has somebody? Yeah, who do you have? Troy Polamalu. My brother loved Troy Polamalu so much. This is strange, but when he passed away, that was his request to be buried with his Polamalu shirt. I'm like, Gary, really? But he did. Who do you got, Jack?
I
Roethlisberger. Oh, this is a tough year for him, isn't it? Yeah. But you see, God wants us to have a passion for him. We have a passion for so much stuff. We have a passion for, I have a passion for the Penguins that's probably a lot greater than it is for the Steelers. I love the Penguins. Love the Penguins. Yeah, that new rookie is supposed to do some good stuff this year. You know, we're hoping so. They lost my player, though. They traded him. You know, I was really, really upset about that. But, you know, that's what happens. But we have passion. We have passion for things. And God says, you know, I want you to have a passion like that for me. There's a passage that's found in Haggai that we're going to get to in just a minute, but it talks about our real vision together as a people. We want to have a passion for God that translates itself into gathering together. A passion for gathering together. We had such a big group this morning in the first service. I think people had a lot of things to do today, so they came to the early service. And we had just about as many in the first service, it seemed, as there was in the second service. That's a great thing. But we have a passion for gathering together. That's why the survey, you know, to be a collective people together, to see if there's ways we can do that more efficiently and better. A passion to grow together. A passion to read the Word of God together, to hear sermons together, to be in Bible study together, to go to Sunday school together. Why do we do that? Because we have a passion to grow together. And then a passion to be involved and to go together in ministry. A passion to be involved in the things that happen here at the church. And a passion to be involved in things in our community as we reach out and touch other people's lives. And that's what God wants us to do. So this passage in Haggai is very, very interesting. Just a couple of verses. Let me read these to you. He says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Look at what is happening to you, he said. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. It's like eating Chinese food. You know, you gorge yourself, and a half hour later, you're hungry. You know what I'm talking about? I wonder why that is. What is that? What is that? All right. Boy, I'm way... Okay. You have... You eat, but are not satisfied. They had Chinese food even back then. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. How many feel that way? Yeah, hello. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. These people run around. He says, you as a people are running around trying to satisfy yourselves with things. And you can't satisfy yourself with things. You plant, but you don't harvest anything. You drink, and you're still thirsty. You eat Chinese, but are not satisfied. You know, really is kind of a good thing. Don't ever go to Chinese buffet, really, because it's just too much. Anybody else? How many? You go up there 4 or 5 times, gang, and you're still not satisfied. It's interesting. And God says, you know, you're trying to fill your life with stuff that's not going to satisfy you. Look at what's happening to you, he said. So how do we get away from that? How do we break that? What do we do about this situation? See, Laodicea, Jesus called them a lukewarm church. They were just room temperature church, you know? They were a room temperature church. What can we do about that? What can we do about that in our churches today? Well, the first one is, as you can see, be doers of the Word of God and don't just listen. I think you know this passage pretty well. Certainly that applies to Haggai again. But take a listen to James chapter 1. He says this, understand this, my dear brothers. Well, I'll go down to verse 22. He says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Don't just be listeners of God's word, but you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. I think whenever we look at the church in Laodicea, we begin to look at ourselves first and we say, Jesus, are you talking to me? Am I lukewarm? Maybe you want me to do more for you. Maybe you want me to do more. Am I indifferent, Lord? Maybe I need to do more for you. That's important. You know, and the word says to us, don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Do what it says. Don't just listen. Boy, there's so many churches out there that kind of fall into that category. They fill their lives with stuff and things and activity that's not quenching their thirst. Secondly, fill your life with God's word. Fill your life with God's word. Read the Bible daily. Read the Bible daily. Listen to more Christian what? Music. You know, I tend to listen to a lot of stuff. I love me some James Taylor. I have every album, and I love phones. They're not really new phones anymore, but I love the phones. And you can just put, I have every album he ever made on my phone, and I could just hit that, and I'm driving on the way up, you know, and I'm praying, talking to Lori. And I just love it. I love it. But I find that when I listen to the Word of God, as it's communicated through Christian music, my life gets a little better. And finally, third is listen to teachers and preachers often. Listen to teachers and preachers often. Gang, I went to school for a long, long time. I don't know everything. I'll stretch. And there's a lot of folks in the church who love to listen to people during the week, you know, and I think that is just so great. I think that is really wonderful because you're getting a kind of a different opinion about a lot of things. You know, you're getting a different opinion about perspectives from the scriptures that, you know, you really want to have. And then I can sit down with you and you'll say, you know, Pastor, I was listening this week to Charles Stanley and he said something. And what do you think about that, you know? If you couldn't give, almost literally, this is close, but if you gave me $1 million, it would be almost as good as you doing that. $1 million would be nice. But if you, I'm not going to lie, but if you come up and said, you know, I've been reading the scriptures lately, and I came across something I didn't really know what to do with. What do I do with that, Pastor? Man, that is gold to my ears. That is gold in my ear, right? I couldn't help it. As soon as I said it, it came in here. But it's gold to my ears. It is. So read the Word daily. Listen to more Christian music. Fill your life with it, your house with it. Listen to teachers and preachers often. Listen to them because it's good stuff. Third, do less worldly activity and busyness and do more God stuff, more God activity. Fill yourself with God. Now, it seems interesting that I would say this on the Sunday before we have a large work day on Saturday. Doesn't that seem interesting? How did that work? I don't know. But, gang, we all know We all know, especially when you have children, man alive, I see my daughter and her husband every day. It's running somewhere to do stuff. And that's good stuff. It is good. I would never negate that. But what do we fill our lives with? Kind of like, how do we spend our time? I don't think God or Jesus wants us to feel guilty about this. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty either, but what do we do to fill our time? If we're going to fix the problem of lukewarmness in our lives and we want more of God, then take some of that stuff out and fill it with God's stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And Michael is in the back now today, but he loved this, you know, in the first service. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know this passage pretty well. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. People will love only themselves and their money. Is that right today? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Oh, God. Think people are weird and they believe in God. Scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. We can say that because the kids are in the back now. Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Boy, is that us today? At the world today? They will consider nothing sacred. See, the things we get ourselves involved in really don't have much to do with God. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. One of the other translations says, deny the power thereof. They believe in God, but they deny the power thereof. This says, but they reject the power that could make them godly. So true. Stay away from people like that. That's what James said, or Timothy. That's what it says in 2 Timothy, that we fill our lives with things that are going to help us spiritually. Bible study at church. Starting soon, first Wednesday. Did we announce that? We didn't announce that, did we? First Wednesday, back to Wednesday, 6 o'clock. We're going to continue through Matthew. We're doing a lot of the parables throughout this year. So it'll start the first Wednesday in October, which is a week from Wednesday, right? Yes? I see you all putting it in your calendars. Bible study at church. Sing in the choir. Be a good thing for you. It would. Whether you can sing or not. If you can't sing, wouldn't probably be a good thing for us out here. But no, I'm kidding. Michael wants you to be there. He wants you to take part. He wants you to be involved. Play bells for the church. Play bells. The praise team, be involved with that. Go to Sunday school. Teach Sunday school. Do you know how badly we need teachers in Sunday school? Oh, man, do we need teachers in Sunday school. If you want to make Donna Lee Hibbs' day, go up to her or my day, say, you know, is there a Sunday school class I could teach? First of all, we'd faint. And then we would come awake and we'd say, yeah, there's plenty of place for you. Get involved in the nursery in the church. Lots of new. We have 5 baptisms coming up in November. 5. I think I'm just going to jump right in the baptismal myself. That's a lot. Gather yourself around you, Christian friends. Christians who will help you to grow spiritually. This is how we get out of the rut we're in and move forward for God as a church. Otherwise, we are lukewarm. We are room temperature. So here's my question. Are you in a rut spiritually? Is there anybody to blame for that? No. But you. Well, I'm in a rut because my pastor is not preaching what I want him to preach. Well, sorry. I'm in a rut because, you know, we don't do enough stuff at church. No, you're in a rut because you're in a rut. And you need to reach out and be more involved spiritually. If you find yourself lukewarm, that's why. It's time to get active. And it's time to grow. It is. And it's time to renew your passion for God that you once had. Remember when you first came to know the Lord? I read the book of 1 John every day, all day, when I first got saved at 17. 40 years ago. Read the book of 1 John every single day. And now, I don't take that time, to be honest with you. And am I in a rut spiritually? Could be. But do the things you did before. And you'll find that the more you get involved with God, the more you get involved doing His things and His will, and working in the church and working in community activities that will help you to help someone else, you'll find that your spiritual rut will disappear. And you'll have a passion for God that you once had. Nobody to blame but you. Nobody to blame but you. Father, we thank you that you love us so much. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to have that passion for you once again. The world, it's just sneaky, you know. Lord, the world just kind of comes in and sneaks its way in. Worms its way in. And we get cold and we don't even realize it. And we get indifferent and we get lukewarm. Just enough religion and church to keep us out of hell. We don't want that. Man, do we not want that. We want a passion for you that nothing can take away. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.